the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Today, Monday, is the 14th of the month of Shawwal, 1443. of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar corresponding to the 26th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter An-Naml, verse 34 and 35.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قالت إن الملوك إذا دخلوا قرية أفسدوها وجعلوا أعزة أهلها أذلة وكذلك يفعلون.
She said, indeed, kings, when they enter a city, they ruin it and render the honored of its people humbled, and thus do they do.
وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ.
But indeed, I will send to them a gift and see with what reply the messengers will return.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran has not mentioned anything about the kind of presents that the Queen of Saba sent for the Prophet Solomon. It has only shown their greatness by applying the word present as an undefined noun, but commentators have mentioned many matters in this regard, some of which are not free from exaggeration and legend. By the way, she, the queen, told her representative that if he observed that Suleiman's look was wrathful to him as soon as he arrived, he should know that it was the manner of the kings. But if Prophet Suleiman received him kindly and with good temper, he should know that Suleiman was a prophet.
The greatest gift. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
The topic of this episode is giving gifts in Islam. To give gifts is a very emphasized act in religion. However, the person who takes a gift back after giving it to a person is deemed to be very lowly. The Prophet has informed us, it is not proper for any one of you to offer something to a person as a gift and then take it back. Of course, if a father gives anything to his children, he's exempted from it. He can take it back, for a father has every kind of claim on his children, explaining the wretchedness of the act. Whoever claims back a gift after giving it is like the dog who ate something and then his stomach was filled to capacity, vomited, and ate up the vomit. This should serve as a severe warning for one who wants to do this. It is the practice of certain twisted individuals to gift something only to claim it back as a means to hurt a person's heart. This is completely wrong. These people have been likened to dogs. Even if they claim that they only did it as a joke or prank, this is not the prophetic way. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. At the same time, it's indicated in the Holy Quran in the Surah Al-Qasas, verse 76, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like merrymakers. I mean, those people who go to the extreme in unhappy occasions, or those people who want to be always happy without any regard for the needs of other people. What's expected in this regard is that if our senses and sensations cannot be managed properly, cannot be controlled properly by our intellect, we find that a friendship and liking others would be drawn to the extremes of extreme love or passion or, I mean, craziness. At the same time, we find that if everybody wanted to behave merely based on logic without any regard to feelings, we would turn into really very mechanical communities, I mean, almost without any sensation. While we find that having such kind of sensation or such kind of feelings can be regarded as, I mean, other aspects of life or other aspects considered to be present in everybody. In the Islamic instructions, people are instructed to have very good and rational and at the same time logical relations with one another. We find that, for example, being in contact with one's peers and relatives and being attentive to one's parents or, for example, brothers, sisters, and so on, they prolong one's life and they add it to the divine graces a person is entitled to receive.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special you're listening to, and now we have a question. Are there recommended gifts? Ideally, a gift should be practical, useful, and something that can add value to the receiver. There isn't anything specially recommended in the hadith. People come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, which influences how often they can gift and the type of gift they can afford. The Prophet always encouraged people to accept a gift no matter what it is. O Muslim women, no one of you should consider insignificant a gift to give to her neighbor, even if it is a gift of the trotters of a sheep.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
In every episode of today's special, under the topic of giving gifts in the view of Islam, we introduce you an item as the best gift. What is today's item? Best Islamic gift ideas for everyone. Jewelry items. Best ideas for women. Jewelry is one of the most demandable things of Muslim girls and women. All women like to wear jewelry items to look more beautiful from others. As a large number of Muslims are living in the Eastern countries, therefore, the trend of jewelry is also more in the East area. If you want to make your wife feel special with your gift, then try to give her a jewelry necklace or some bangles. Even a ring will also be a great pick. During the Eids, the special occasions, the demand for jewelry also increases because of the Eid event. So if you want to give your daughter, wife, and a mother a beautiful surprise, then provide them with jewelry items as a gift.
Now, when we look at the religion of Islam, we see that from an Islamic perspective, generosity is something that is liked and something that is very important and encouraged. And in fact, it's associated with faith. When you believe in God, you will be more generous. When you are a better worshiper and more devout individual, then that will be more likely that you will be able to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a virtue some people struggle with. Some people, they can't be generous. Some people, they like to hoard the money their whole life, and then the moment they die, they leave all the money in their bank account. That's it. They haven't done anything good with it. The religion of Islam encourages us to give during our lifetime. It encourages us to be a giver. And it is highly recommended. It is said that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, there was a man who died, and he had a storage, a warehouse that had dates in it. So he had written in his will that I want 1/3 of everything that I own to be given in the way of Allah after my death. You could do that in your wasiyah, in your will. 1/3, you could put it, you could do with it whatever you want. 2/3 will go to the children and the inheritors and those who receive the inheritance. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi went with the family, and they were asking Rasulullah for help and dividing and everything. So once they divided everything, they found one piece of date in the corner of the room. One piece of date. They brought it to Rasulullah. They tell him, Ya Rasulullah, we found this as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi took that date, and he tells them, if this man who passed away, if he had given this one date during his life, it is much better than for him. It is much better for him than if he had given it after his death.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection. And of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en. Today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
Food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and felicitations to you all on the anniversary of the day on which Islam and Muslims were saved from a catastrophe in the year 3 AH at Uhud, near Medina, thanks to the valour of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here is what the Archangel Gabriel chanted whilst giving the Prophet the heavenly sword, Zulfaqar, as a gift for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, whose sword was broken in the encounter with the infidels, and he had picked up a rod to defend the Prophet from the attacks of the Arab infidels. No youth is as brave as Ali, and no sword sharper than Zulfaqar.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which is about a category of people called the mukhlisin, the sincere ones. This shouldn't be confused with another category of people called the mukhlasin, those who have been made sincere by God. That's a higher class of people altogether. We don't want to get into the discussion about who they are and why they're higher than this group that we're talking about today. But we just want to remind our listeners not to confuse these two with one another. Imam Sadiq said the following to Mufaddal ibn Saleh, one of his companions: "Verily Allah has servants who sincerely engage in transaction with Him in secrecy." Meaning they act sincerely, they perform worship sincerely for God in secrecy, so that nobody can understand what they're doing. So Allah gives them from His pure reward and goodness. For they are the ones who will come on the day of resurrection with their book of deeds empty. And when they stand in front of Allah, their books will be filled with the secrets that they had with Him. So these people, these sincere people, when they come on the day of resurrection, their books of deeds will be empty. And when they come in front of Allah and come in front of God, suddenly their books will be filled with the secrets that they had with God. You probably are wondering, why would their books be empty? Something similar, a similar question came in the mind of this person the Imam was speaking to. This person named Mufaddal, he asked the Imam, he said, "I asked, O my master, why will their books be empty?" The Imam replied to this question in the following way: "Allah holds them in such high regard that He does not even want the guardian angels to be aware of what is between Him and them." Right? So these people are so sincere with Allah, right, that not even the angels know what's going on between them and Allah. You know, the worship that they perform for Allah. It's that secret. Allah likes this secrecy. They are His choicest and most sincere servants of God. And because of that, just like God, they protected their worship and did not allow anybody to know about it, you know, because they didn't want to become proud about it. They didn't want, you know, to, God forbid, start expecting a reward from people for it, and so on and so forth. God Almighty in the hereafter kind of hides their acts of worship from the other, from the angels. Right? It could be because maybe a person in the hereafter, when he witnesses the angels and their acts of worship, he might feel embarrassed about it. Or, you know, when he compares their ibadat with his own ibadat, or the ibadat of other people, he might be embarrassed about it for some other reason. God Almighty keeps these acts of worship hidden from these other beings, these angels or these higher beings, right? And in this way, He doesn't allow this kind of embarrassment to occur for the servant. This could be one reason for for why God hides it from these beings. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the sincere ones in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters all over the world. As you're hearing us, first and foremost, I really thank Allah Almighty that We are back with another session of Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, right?
Yes.
So these sessions are a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Networks and also the students of Sevier School. So I'm really happy. I really thank you on behalf of all the students who are here. And we really thank you for joining us and being with us again. So, inshallah, in this session, we're going to learn a very, very important rule about how to fluently read the Quran Kareem. But before we go and learn the new rules, let's just have a quick review of our previous session, okay? Now, the next topic that we have to focus on, and it's very important because some of the students make a lot of mistakes with this. So it's this. In Arabic, we say "iltiqa'u sakinatain." Okay, "iltiqa'u sakinatain." Can you imagine?
Like two words.
So what does it mean in English?
Two seconds.
Two second letters meet.
Yeah, meet together.
Each other.
And it'll be impossible to read.
Suppose, okay, for example, two blind and deaf people meet one another. What do they do? Two blind. Same, sir. Two blind. At the same time, deaf people meet one another, each other. So
How do they meet each other?
How do they meet each other?
No one knows.
Okay, no one knows, yes? Only Mahdi knows. So
no.
So two blind and deaf people, okay,
just
meet one another. They cannot hear each other. They cannot see each other. So it means they are completely sakin, so silent.
They can't.
So what should we do
them.
Here, okay? So the first sakin, we use the previous harakat, the harakat of the previous letter, yes?
Yes.
For example, Mahdi, if I have Hamza with Fatha and Ba with Sukun, I say?
Dot? No, sorry.
Hamza with Fatha and there is a Ba with Sukun. Ab, I use the harakat of Hamza to pronounce the letter Ba, right? Ab.
What not?
Ad.
Hab.
Whatever, okay? So there is a sakin letter, so you use the previous letter, okay? I mean the harakat of the previous letter to, like, pronounce the next letter, which is sakin. But what if two sakin letters are there? What can I do?
So
is it possible?
How it's possible that two reads together, two sakin after each other?
How is it possible? Is it possible, Hussein Musa, in Arabic? You are an Arabic speaker.
Like in Arabic? No, it's not possible.
It's not possible because it's very difficult. So they don't have. Like you remember we said one time, okay, that the Arabic speakers, I mean in Arabic, okay, we don't have a word that starts with sukun.
How will you read that?
Either it's not, it doesn't exist or it's very difficult, even if it exists, okay? It's very difficult to read it. We can't.
But we can.
That's why we use Hamzatul Wasl. That's why we have Hamzatul Wasl, okay? Because the word starts with a sukun and it's difficult. We can't start it.
So how
can you start, for example, Alhamdulillah? Lam is sakin, okay? How can you read it?
Alhamdulillah.
No, lam is sakin. I cannot read it. La, le, lo. I can't read it.
Alhamdulillah.
I can't read it. That's why I use a Hamzatul Wasl and put a harakat on the top of Hamzatul Wasl, okay? And read it.
Alhamdulillah.
Look, Alhamdulillah, it becomes Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, whatever, okay?
Ar-Rahman.
Understood? For example, we say, like, istihkam. So, the word starts with seen, okay?
And
it's sakin. Because we cannot read it, we put a Hamzatul Wasl, okay?
So, we can read it by its own voice.
Istihkam, no.
No, or sintahkam.
Sintahkam? That doesn't have a meaning then. Okay?
But istihkam has a meaning.
So, as in Hamzatul Wasl, we studied this, it is difficult for, in Arabic, okay, to have a word that starts with sukun here as well. When the two sakin letters are trying to meet one another, each other, okay, so it is difficult. It's difficult to pronounce them. So, but there is a rule, okay, that helps us understand how to solve, how to deal with this case. So, that is called raf'u. Sorry, just a second. That's called raf'u. Raf'ul التقاء الساكنتين.
Sir, two ساكن are here. One حركات is behind. We'll add to this and this will be ساكن. We can join them together.
I don't know. Can we join them? Now we are going to study that, yeah? Like can we join them or no?
Like abab.
Abab. But no. The second letter which was ساكن and there is a third letter which is ساكن. So the second letter doesn't have any حركة.
No. From behind we'll add to.
So we do not add any harakat. Look, ab. Do we add any harakat to that ba? No, we don't add. We just read it by the help of the previous harakat. So we do not give it any new harakat.
Ababba.
It doesn't have a fatha, kasra, or dhamma.
Ababba.
That it makes it, it enables us to read the next letter. Okay, no.
No.
It doesn't abab. If it was abab, it means the ba has fatha. While it does not have a fatha.
But without that, we can't read it.
So we can't read it. Let's see, can we read it or no? We will study the rules, how to read it, how to deal with this. So now do you have a good mindset of yes, of this yes?
Not really.
You don't have an idea of this? How it happens?
I have an idea that, like,
Raf'u al-tiqa'i s-sakinatain.
Is it like one, two, like second words come with each other, we use like the harakat of behind it or after it.
That's it. He's trying to say that, but he didn't say it.
Yeah. Like,
sir, the harakat of the letter behind it will add that harakat to the itself word.
Mm-hmm.
Like
maybe
bab.
Maybe. Okay.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
So, let's go and talk about it, okay? So in English, I didn't say it, sorry, in English. So in English, for this rule, we say, like, iltiqa'u sakinatain, we say the meeting, okay? The meeting of two sakin letters.
Two test okay? letters.
Raf'u iltiqa'i sakinatain, in English we say, maybe our brothers will ask, and sisters will ask, that what is it in English? I don't understand. It means prohibition of the two sakin letters from meeting, okay? Meeting each other, okay? Or, for example, like avoiding two sakin letters from meeting each other, okay?
Okay, we can add in, like, something in middle of both of them.
Uh-huh. Can we add now? There are three cases. Can we add any harakat to one of them to help read the other one, okay?
But if we can add, which harakat?
Yeah, if we can add, what harakat?
The harakat of the behind letter.
So let's see. Is it the harakat of behind or a new harakat or the harakat of the next letters? Look.
The next letter is sakin.
No, the other letter, which is after the both sakin letters.
If it's too far. Sakin.
That's how we read.
Third letter. So again, that's another case.
If the Quran is sakin, all of it.
Alhamdulillah, the Quran is not sakin. So, next case is that, first case was, should we assign it with new harakat? If new harakat, what harakat? If we use the harakat of the previous letter, is it correct or no? Next one. Or, we can't use any harakat. Which one? Or, the next case, we should assign both of them with a harakat. Like, assign both of them with fatha. Ba-ba-ba, or whatever, ta-ta-ta, whatever, okay? They're sucking, assign them with fatha, or dhamma, or kasra. So four cases are there, but one of them is correct.
So here
usually, wait. Usually one of them is correct, but, okay? But in some, except there are some exceptions, okay? That we have some other harakat to use, okay?
Like, sir, tat-tabi'u.
Tat-tabi'u.
Because it says starting of the ayah, we add fatha to it.
Ittabi'u. Fatha, when the third letter has fatha. Now you know, you understand that. What are we going to talk about, yes? So there is one general rule, okay? Rule that helps us. in most cases, Mahdi, in most cases, this rule helps us. So it's an Arabic rule, it's an Arabic sentence. So I will say this, Mahdi or Hussein Musa will translate it, okay? إذا التقت الساكنتين حرك بالكسر.
Okay. الكسرة to the first second letter.
إذا التقت الساكنتين حرك بالكسر.
Okay, if the two words, like
two letters,
the two second the letters. Two second letters meet each other,
okay,
it will be second.
حرك بالكسر.
At كسر down of.
Mahdi, what does it say? إذا التقت الساكنتين, when two silent second letters meet each other, approach each other, حرك, assign the حركات بالكسر, with كسرة.
The first one, the both.
Oh, the first one, yes. The first letter you gotta assign with كسرة, okay? For example, أبب.
But this.
أبب, you say.
But this.
For example.
Don't have any two. Second letter, they add by themselves.
We'll see. There are many cases that, for example, here, this word, there are two second letters. This case, this word, there are two second letters.
But it's still not one, so one, two second.
Inshallah, we'll talk about that. Don't worry. So there are many cases, okay? Many examples, many cases are there. Now, so remember that this general rule, إذ التقت الساكنتين, can you say with me? إذ
The
word idil itself, you look, id al-taqata. It is two silent letters, two second letters. Id dhal is sakin. Iltaqata lam is sakin. Hamzatul wasl is there, then lam is sakin. So what do you do? Idil, look, I put a kasra. Idil taqata sakinatain, hurrik bil kasr. The two words, id and iltaqata. Two second letters they have, yes? They meet one another. So what do you say? حرك بالكسر. Assign it with كسر. Did I assign it with كسر or no?
Yes.
إذل. Look. It was إذ. So again, إذل. It's very easy. So remember, this sentence, إذل تقت الساكنتين حرك بالكسر.
What is the use of two second? They can just put in كسر. Like, what is this?
Yeah, they put use, a كسر.
No, the use is this. For example, a word, okay? A word ends with a sukun. Then there is another word which starts with sukun. So here the problem, okay? How can we read them? If they are separately written, okay, I can read them. For example, min or man, okay? Man. Man, nun is sakin. It's a word, okay? Ends with a sukun. It's easy, I can read it. Man. If it was min, mun, man, min, mun. Whatever. There is another word starts with, for example, alif lam, it has alif lam ta'arif, okay? Alif lam with shamsi letters or qamari letters.
Al-shams.
Yeah, moon letters. Ash-shams. Al-ardu. Any other example?
As-sayara.
As-sayara, whatever. So, look here. That word starts as well with a sukun. If there wasn't any hamzatul wasl. Even if there is hamzatul wasl, if you join both of them together, okay? The hamzatul wasl will be skipped. So two sakin letters we have. So what should we do? Can we read this or no? We have to read it, but how? That is the rule that we're talking about, okay? How to read it. إِذِ الْتَقَتَ السَّاكِنَتَيْنِ حُرِّكْ بِالْكَسْرِ. This is the general rule. In most cases, you do this. You apply this rule. You assign the first sakin letter with kasra, right? Guys, remember that there are some words that, although there are like two sakin letters, but you still do not assign them with kasra. So you use fatha, you use dhamma. So remember that all the three harakat, okay, we can use. All the three harakat we can use. But in most cases, the general rule is to assign it with kasra. Hurrik bil kasra. But we can use fatha as well in some words that I will tell you. And some words we use dhamma, okay? That each of them has, a different case. So, inshallah, if you're ready, we'll first of all give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International School. So, after reciting, inshallah, as-salawat, we will come back and go to the Quran okay, and take a look at the ayat of the Quran, the verses of the Quran, find the examples, and step by step we will deal and challenge with them and solve them, okay? So let's recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري.
Imam Ali alayhi salam says in this part of the Kumail supplication, وَكُنِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعِزَّتِكَ لِي فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ رَؤُوفًا وَعَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ عَطُوفًا. And by your might, O Allah, be kind to me in all states, and be gracious to me in all my affairs. So after Imam Ali alayhi salam asks the Almighty Allah not to hasten him to punishment because of the evil doings he counted in the previous part, he now moves on as a supplicant and asks the Almighty Allah to be kind to him in all states. وَكُنِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعِزَّتِكَ لِي فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ رَؤُوفًا. Be kind to me in all states by your might. No one in the world is able to describe Almighty Allah's kindness, even if that person is pretty knowledgeable. But his kindness can be understood from different signs, from pondering on Quranic verses, and also the traditions and the words of the Prophet's household, alayhi wasallam. But I assume the simplest way for recognizing the mercy of Almighty Allah is by paying attention to the instances in which his mercy can be perceived. I mean, Let me elaborate on this by having a look at a narration from the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I asked and presented some requests before Allah. One of them was, O Allah, leave my nation's deeds to me to account for them. I was then addressed, even though you are the Prophet of kindness, but you are not the most merciful. If you are informed of some of the sins of your people, you would hate them. Let only me know about their sins. O Muhammad, I would account for them in such a way that no one would get informed of their sins, not even you. So when I hide their sins from you, you that are the manifestation of kindness, I would definitely hide their sins from others too. O Muhammad, if you have a prophethood of kindness to them, I have godly mercy to them. You are their prophet while I am their Lord. And if you are kind with them today, I've been kind to them from the very beginning and will be so till eternity.
Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. O Allah, I beg you by your greatness to be compassionate to me in all circumstances, and be gracious to me in all affairs.
It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Brothers and sisters, this godly mercy of the Almighty Allah can be seen throughout our lifestyles, throughout our experiences. But the point is that it just needs insight. Even the biggest mercies of the Almighty Allah can be ignored if the person does not have insight. That is why Imam Ali alayhi salam said that the one who is overcome by forgetfulness, his heart dies, and if your heart dies, it will blind your insight. That is why we have been ordered throughout our traditions to do whatever we can to remind ourselves of the existence of the Almighty Allah and His mercy throughout our entire lives, because forgetfulness of the Almighty Allah will blind your insight, and the one who is turned blind cannot recognize the existence of Almighty Allah's mercy and hereafter. So that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, كُنِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعِزَّتِكَ لِي فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ رَوْفَ. And by your might, O Allah, be kind to me in all states. وَعَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ عَتُوفَ. Be gracious to me in all my affairs. You might remember when we were discussing the concept of supplication in the previous episodes, we discussed the reality of dua, and we mentioned that the reality of dua is being aware of the fact that there is one Almighty Allah you're talking to. He is your Lord and your Creator. And by supplication, you are actually talking to Him. You're getting yourself closer to Him. And this needs iqbal from you and Almighty Allah together. What I want to say is that the supplication itself talking to the Almighty Allah, reminding yourself of the presence of the Almighty Allah, will avoid forgetfulness. And this is another benefit of supplication. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. This is your host Zainab. I hope wherever you are, you're fine, you're doing well. And in case you have any problems, you're not doing well. In this holy land, we always pray for your well-being, inshallah. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we come up with the issues, the problems, the questions that parents have about the upbringing of their children. Well, the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have in studio with us our guest speaker, Sister Salma Khalafan. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure.
Well, sister, in